T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We sure have covered a lot today, from the NBA Finals to the future of Kevin Durant to dog poop in Lamira.
Says Eddie on Twitter, in a span of 30 minutes, tweeting at UI and Horvy, you respond with to the worst segment you've ever done.
Yeah, we had a bad segment.
With one of your best, proving you aren't the Lamira of sports talk radio.
Well, that might be the nicest thing we've ever heard.
I said, Eddie, I said, you got that right player.
You want to talk about good segments? It's always a good time with our friend Adam McKelvey from Brewers.com, MLB.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Mr. Brewer Man, what's up?
Hi, Adam.
Hey, boys. Good morning.
Hey, Adam. All right. Boy, you know, we haven't talked to Adam since the Brewers lost out, I guess, on two unrestricted free agents. Bart, do you want to fire off the first question on that?
Or then? Since they sent Keston Hira down. I don't think you and I have talked to him since.
No. But I think that that draw a lot of heat, I think, last week on the show, especially the signing by the Cubs.
So here's what entitled Bart did yesterday to start the show. After the Brewers, you know, they win four in a row, and they have a nice sweep against the Pirates, and everything's looking good.
And we're happy on the show. I'm coming in. I'm feeling great.
Chuck's as pumped as he ever is. You know, he got the yelly bobble, and he's everything's going great. And I was in a bad mood because I feel like it's kind of what we talked about last week, where the Brewers spend so much energy on making their batters good and their hitters good and the fielders good, but then kind of ignore the pitching stuff. And I feel like the phrase I used was they're being rewarded for bad behavior. Like, the Brewers don't go and get these pitchers, and they just hope that things will work out. And it looks like Adrian Hauser is working out, and it looks like Zach Davies is working out. And I'm going to be shouting, the Brewers could win 3 World Series in a row, and I'll still be shouting that I want starting pitching. So does that make sense to you where I'm coming from, that by missing out on these guys and by missing out and never having like an ace pitcher and still winning, they're being rewarded for bad behavior?
Well, look, I mean, I think there's always going to be someone out there that you want to sign. And unless the fundamentals of the game change, the Brewers are always going to be a team that has a hard time signing those guys. They try to build this thing about trying to build for sustained success and not putting yourself in a bad financial position that's going to hurt you 2 years from now or 3 years from now or 4 years from now. That's always going to be a factor, I think, for whoever the GM of this team is. So, that's part of why they didn't go sign those guys, is it puts them in just a bad position. I know there's skepticism about sports owners and baseball owners and how much money they say they have and how much money they really do have. But I don't know. Mark Attanasio is a competitive guy, and I think if there was I think he's shown that when there's a deal to be made and the wherewithal to do it, he's often done it. And in this case, they said from the beginning that there wasn't a wherewithal to get a deal done with one of those guys based on the other signings that they made. And it ended up, that's kind of what ended up not happening in this case. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's always going to be players out there, free agents out there that you want. And there's always going to be the need from the inside to try to develop some of your own players. And that's messy, and it's been really messy with this year with these young guys. But I think they're going to continue to try to develop the guys inside before they go out and sign the guys outside. I guess that's the way I think about it.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola on the web, MorolaLaw.com. I feel like this was an opportunity, and look, maybe they didn't want to come here. That's fine, but I feel like this was
an opportunity. That's part of it that we just don't know about, too.
Right, and this is an opportunity, though, where you can add in the season, and you have to pay these guys. If you're going to add in the season the rest of the year now, you're going to pay whatever salary comes over, but you're also going to have to give up prospects to acquire talent like that. So I look at it that way, and then I wonder, you know, does that Nazio, because they've spent money, and I think that I know that this is the most money they've ever spent, and I think that sometimes they want us to hear, that's what they say, and they want us to hear, we're out of money. But I don't think that's the case. I think if there's a move, as Mark has said, to be made, they'll try to make that move. Do you think that, and Stearns wasn't here for a lot of this, but Mark Adonazio has spent on pitching a lot, and it's always backfired on him. Does that still linger with him? Is he just generally afraid to see the Brewers go out and spend top dollar on a pitcher like this?
Well, I think he is more apt now to let the baseball people make those calls is part of it as well. I mean, he's the baseball people have earned trust that, you know, I think he's less likely to step in and make a deal on his own. The baseball people, you know, look, they've told you the baseball people think the pitching is better than you think it is, basically. And that's borne out for parts of this. You know, you talk about Hauser, you talk about Davies coming back, Woodruff taking a step forward. They feel like they have better pitching than they're given credit for. The easy answer is always go sign a guy. The hard answer is develop players that then you have control of for much longer, and the entire picture of your team looks better, and you can fill the holes that you truly have more easily, more readily when you develop your own players. And that's really what they're trying to do. And look, like I said, that gets really messy. Like developing pitching for all time has been really, really hard. And the best pitchers, I remember, I've told you this before, guys, I think, that Doug Melvin once took us through all around the game, the best pitchers in the game, where they came from. And they are so rarely acquired, you know, like drafted and developed all the way with one team. It's just really hard to do that. Probably happening more, I would guess maybe more now, because teams are investing in their young players early and signing these extensions, but still, it's still really challenging. But if you look at the teams that have really good pitching, they almost always have developed one or two of them on their own. And that's what they're trying to do. So, you know, I think that there's always going to be this tug of war between kind of the quick fix going out and signing a guy in free agency, and maybe the way that you have to do it to sustain success when you're a smaller payroll team. That tug of war, we've seen it really this season when they're competitive. But, you know, I don't know. They told us from the beginning, we're going to try to develop our own guys, and A, and B, we like our pitching better than you do. And they've stuck with that plan. At least, I guess, I give them a little credit for having a plan and sticking to it and trying to see it through. And, you know, now they're in a position as we get to July 31 where they could add. And I think I still think they will add, but not at the, you know, $43 million level. Mm-hmm. They'll add something more modest than that, but they'll be able to add something to an area that they think they can improve, you know, improve that area of the team, but not put yourself in a bad position.
And I know Brewer fans get tired of hearing about, well, this the Bostons and the Cubs and you know, the Yankees, they could spend money where Milwaukee can't. But what is Milwaukee, where is their, when you said the wherewithal, how much can they spend and how much can they not spend? Where are they, like, maybe right now? What is their limit? I mean, are they stretched? Can you kind of explain that whole philosophy and where the Brewers are financially? Because we don't know. We don't know where they are for that. We don't see the books. We don't know how good they got it.
No, well, that's the thing, and I mean, I don't see the books either. So I don't know. All I know is they whenever they've gotten past like the 110 area, it gets uncomfortable, and it gets to the point where they feel like they lose the flexibility to make ads via trade or sign a Gio Gonzalez type guy, make an in-season move. And they're way past that now. They're in, you know, and it's the even harder part about baseball is, how do you account for, you know, do you account for guys on the DL? Do you account for in-season ads? Do you account for the millions of dollars they're spending right now to finish a complex in the Dominican Republic? That's something nobody cares about today, because they want to, you know, beat the Cubs right now. But tomorrow, that's going to be an investment that is going to be part of how you win. The new Maryvale, all that stuff. Do you figure that in? Now, I think they do. I think the Brewers, they're spending that money. So Rick Schlesinger and the people on the business side, they think of that as money that they're spending on baseball. I don't know that if you polled the average fan, they would consider that as part of the payroll. They think of the player, the money that you're spending on major league players. And in that, I mean, it's well north of 120 this year. I think that'll go higher as they continue to, you know, have to call up players. I think they'll make a bullpen ad at least at the trade deadline. So I think the number will creep up there, and you know, they'll continue to spend. And this is all unprecedented spending for the team. But like, are they going to lose money this year? How much money are they really going to lose? I don't have the answers because the books are closed to me too. I just know that. The little that they do tell us, it always seems to be that this is the territory where it makes them really uncomfortable in terms of, you know, not running not staying in the black this year makes them nervous, because if you do that too many years in a row, it impacts your ability to field a good team. Yeah. And they don't want to go into that territory.
How long is the leash on Travis Shaw? I mean, he's sitting about 250 right now. He's been up here for about a week again. What's their plans with him? How do they look at that? Are they going to give him an ample amount of time to again here?
Oh, and Zeus too, for that matter.
Yeah, well, Zeus. Well, tell us about both of the guys, I guess.
Yeah, look, I mean, and again, my answer on those guys remains the same, is that it's they've obviously given them a long leash. They obviously know now, in the case of Shaw, that Keston Hira is, you know, can be a very productive big league player. He can play the position defensively. They're in a good spot there in that they know they have a guy behind any infielder that if they, you know, when there's a need, you know, you call him up. But, you know, again, it's this idea of wanting to preserve wanting to preserve the depth so that when you have a need, you have a guy to fill that need, and not jettisoning a player. In the case, in Aguilar's case, it would be just completely letting a player go because you'd lose him. That, you know, now it cuts into your depth a little bit. The thing with Shaw that complicates it is you can option him. So, you know, look, I thought when they made that move that made everybody upset and optioned out Keston Hira and brought Travis Shaw back, that's one move they could have made. It could have been like the Jimmy Nelson move, where his rehab assignment is kind of over and you option him and let him keep hitting down there and keep Keston here in the big leagues. They thought that it was time to bring Travis Shaw back because he's a major league player. The past 2 years, he was very productive from a power point of view for them, and they wanted to bring, you know, they wanted that back. So how long they go with either player, it continues to be this kind of murky thing. And if you're scoring runs and winning as a team, I think you're less likely to pull the trigger on a move like that. When you're scoring and winning, you sort of have the luxury of letting those guys continue to play it out. And that's what they've done right now. But look, I'll just say that the leash is not endless. And the hard part, especially for Jesus Aguilar now, is he's on the wrong side of that timeshare. So how do you get going if you're not playing? And that's the position he finds himself in now. But it's Major League Baseball. It's a big boy game. And that's kind of the thing you have to deal with.
Adam McKelvey, at Adam McKelvey, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well. As far as their bullpen, so Josh Hader, we all know he's pretty good. Jeremy Jeffress seems to be really close to where he was last year, and they're comfortable with him. And then Adrian Hauser has had some good appearances. Even Alex Claudio has been better as of late. How do you think that the Brewers feel about what they have in the bullpen come trade deadline? I'm sure, you know, they always look to add there, but how do you think, how comfortable do you think they are with the guys they do have now?
Well, I think Hauser helps him a lot. For earlier, Junior Guerra helped him a lot because he was really good, and he's been more inconsistent and ineffective in some outings, and that's hurt him a little bit. Jeffress getting back is obviously a really big deal because it gives you at least choices with Josh Hader, although he's been sort of that in that closer role, I would say mostly a little hybrid, but more at the back end of games than he was last year. They have some choices down there, but I don't think it's as lights out as it was last season. And if you think back to even further back, the really good Brewers teams, at least 11. I mean, 2011 was a fantastic bullpen for Ron Renicke. Their best teams have had kind of power bullpens at the very end. So I don't know. We're still a few weeks from this, but I think there's an addition there, and they bring in a veteran. You know, Joaquin Soria was kind of like the all-time example last year, where a veteran guy, he's closed. He's not at the height of his powers anymore, but he was still pretty darn good. And they plugged him in as kind of the third or fourth best reliever in a bullpen. And that was pretty good. And they had like four really, really good guys for Craig Counsell to go to. I don't know that he has four really lights out guys right now. And I think they'll try to identify somebody and bring him in and bolster that area for him again, especially the way he likes to use the bullpen. It's just kind of the philosophy of getting the starter, getting your innings out of the starter, and then go to the pen. You know, you're going to use a lot of innings out of your relievers. They're not going to be available every day. I think it takes four really lights out guys to operate that way over a long period of time if you're going to make a run, you know, into August and September, and they hope October.
Lights out like a guy like Craig Kimbrell, but he's a Cub now.
Yeah, but yes.
You got to get over that,
but
like
look,
the Bucks losing
see,
to
though,
Toronto.
I'll never get over the Bucks losing to Toronto.
That is, though, I mean, he's a guy who's been lights out, but I think everybody now is curious, what is he as a Cub?
No, if he would have signed with the Brewers, the fan base here would have said World Series, and now that he signed with the Cub, everyone's like, well, he's no good. you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. If anybody knows what I'm saying, Adam knows what I'm saying. Hey, we appreciate it.
Let's see if he's good. Maybe he's good. Maybe all that stuff last year was just a bad stretch, and maybe he's great. I'm as curious as anybody to see sort of, is he still Craig Kimbrell, the one you see when you look at his stats right now, or is he a different guy?
Thanks, Adam.
I don't know. Yeah.
Sorry to kick you off. This guy a little junkie.
We talked to him once a week. You're just pushing him off the ledge here.
Well, we could talk to him for an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jesus Aguilar is on this team. I don't get it, but he answered that. Castanera.
I guess we're done.
Brewers made a business decision on him. What are we going to do? All right, Adam. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Adam.
Hey, bye, guys. I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Adam. Chuck?
Oh, I love Adam.
Okay. See ya.
My guy. He understands me sometimes.
I don't know why I got so bad at hanging up on him there. Adam McKelvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
As Elton John would say, sorry seems to be the hardest word to say.
Oh, yeah.
Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. Do something for your old man out there. Or do something for yourself, man, and stop off at Roberts Specialty Meats. You might have a cookout this Sunday. Roberts is the perfect place to go to that. Paul Roberts has got lots of options to make Father's Day weekend special for you and your family. Do something for the player in your life. Hand-cut ribeyes, the T-bones, the porterhouse steaks, the bacon-wrapped fillets, the USDA prime beef tenderloins, or a variety of original gourmet burgers. Now, I was there last Sunday, last Friday I was there, and they were telling me, Player Freeman, you got to believe it, man. Player Freeman. The gourmet burgers that you've been talking about, people are coming in and asking about them. The beef brisket burgers, I have people asking me about this at Miller Park. The beef brisket burgers, those half pounders, those are as advertised, man. They're delicious. People have been asking for them at Roberts. He's got them. He's got them in stock.
You ever think you're taking this player thing a little too far?
Well, I mean, player is 2020. Dog is 1993, your expression.
I don't mind if you say player.
I don't care if you mind it or not.
You called yourself Player Freeman.
Yes, because I am the number one player. I'm the inventor of that. T-bones, porterhouse steaks, bacon wrap fillets. Can we just end the show? For a variety of reasons, you should go to Robert's Specialty Meats because they love our brats. We love our brats. They love them too. 30 varieties of original. We don't want to end it during this little read here. The original sausages and brats, the Al Capone Italian sausage, bursting with zesty flavor. Call them today, 262-549-MEAT. Better yet, don't give them. I'm surprised you even got a phone over there, man. Who's got phone lines anymore? But apparently Paul does. 262-549-MEAT.
You don't have to say like every thought that comes to your head.
With what?
This. Just give out the number. Who's got a phone?
Oh, now you're going to educate me on how to talk about Paul Roberts? The success that we all have made them?
I would never. Not the Player Freeman.
All right. Online, Robert Specialty Meats, Waukesha.com. You got some money-saving coupons on there for all your selection of meats. Trust me, no matter how many times I've been interrupted in this commercial, there is no interruption at Robert Specialty Meats from all the hand, and not to mention the Robert's ribs on a stick, 3 or 4 pounds of them, and you'll be good to go. For all your grilling out this weekend, for Father's Day weekend, it's Robert Specialty Meats, Sunset Drive in Waukesha, your hometown butcher.
Well done.
We just butchered that.
No, we didn't. No. You did a great job.
Paul Roberts, father himself, father of the year.
The Raptors butchered a chance to win the NBA Finals. So now it goes back to Oracle Game 6. The Kevin Durant thing, I mean, they're not going to have him the rest of the way. How do we see 6 and 7 playing out if it goes that far? It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We'll talk NBA Finals next.
And on the one hand, I'm so proud of them. The amazing heart and grit that they showed. And on the other, I'm just devastated for Kevin. And so it's a bizarre feeling that we all have right now. An incredible win and a horrible loss at the same time.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. From the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, you guys can chime in our conversation throughout the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250, the number to reach us here. Game 5 of the NBA Finals, 106-105, Raptors had a shot with 13 seconds to go. One last possession, and Kyle Lowry shot it, and Draymond Green blocked it, and that was it. A game that had about as many twists and turns as you can have. Warriors were in control for most of it, despite the Kevin Durant injury, and they were just a new team. Kevin Durant playing for the first time since May 8th. They had their confidence back. As Mark Jackson said in the broadcast, they had their big brother back. You could tell that they were playing a little more confident. Steph in those first, 10 minutes was very good as well. And Kevin Durant was hitting some big shots. And then he got hurt, and the entire mood changed. And you heard from a lot of these guys after the game, whether it was the GM almost in tears, whether it was Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, all these guys very somber. They won, but they also lost last night.
Yeah, and then came the third quarter. Golden State got up to like a 14-point lead. They went on a 10-0 run. Got up by 14. I thought,
yeah, a lot of runs last night.
Yeah, they got by 14, and then Toronto came back with a 10-point run, and they were hitting threes. And you thought, okay, now they're back in the game. And then, they went on a nice run, and it was back and forth. And I always felt like Golden State kept Toronto at an arm's length at least. And then the Raptors went on with behind Kawhi there in the fourth quarter. Kawhi put the team on his back, and he thought, okay, he's leading them to the promised land behind his home crowd. And when they got up 6, even coming out of that timeout, I thought, okay, Golden State is done. I really thought, and Golden State, I never finished them off, man, because they're just such a threat. But I even thought at that point, Golden State was done. 103-97, I think it was. with about 3.5 minutes when Nurse called that timeout. And I thought, Bart, I thought the Warriors were finished. Warriors were done. Told Toronto had the ball, and they came up with an empty possession on a jumper by Kawhi. And Clay came down, hit that three, and then it was a ball game again on one possession.
The thing that I text you and Horvat last night, if the Raptors win, I'm not watching any post games, so you'll have to let me know what happens if there's anything newsworthy or if Drake crashes the stage to, let's say, make out with the trophy, is what I used harsher language, but
yeah,
that's what I said last night.
The message you sent me was a little more harsher on that.
Just a little bit, but I didn't want to watch any of it. I didn't want to see Toronto celebrate. Look, I don't like Toronto.
I know, but you kind of last Monday on Memorial Day when I said I don't want to watch the NBA Finals because the Bucks aren't in it. You said, "Well, that's part of our job. We got to do that, right? Isn't that part of our job to watch that?"
Well, no, I can just read the box score and figure out what happened from there.
Well, that's what I told you a couple weeks ago.
I'm still stunned they only played Durant for 12 minutes.
I said, I don't even want
to
watch this.
I'd like to see him play more in Game 6.
I said, I'm so
what else can I glean from the box score?
Crippled by the Bucks losing. I'm so crippled by the Bucks losing. I don't even want to watch the NBA Finals. But when it came, you know, time to go on that Thursday, I was ready to go.
Oh, sure, and it's different for me. I'm rooting for the Warriors with the family ties. Mm-hmm. Did you know my brother works for them?
Still,
yeah.
Okay.
Somebody tweeted.
Go ahead.
Somebody tweeted me last night, Bart. I thought your brother did PR for the Warriors, not you. Funny.
Yeah, he sent me some nice videos.
Yeah, he got a lot of TV time last night. Yeah. He was. It looked like he was Clay's handler after the game last night. So, right, I'm rooting for them. But the last month, you know, because when did the Bucks series start with them? Around the 15th of May, or sometime around that. It just feels like I've watched the same game over and over. It just seems very Groundhog Day-like, where I either watch the team that I'm rooting for get up big and then the Raptors come back, or if the Raptors have a lead in that game, they keep them 8-9 points. It just seems this series, in terms of how the Raptors are playing with Van Vliet making shots at the end of the shot clock,
again,
that he has no business making.
Again last night.
But they're doing so well. The Raptors, if they do win the series, and when you look back at the Bucks series, they've made so many crucial shots at the end of the shot clock, and it's really, those are devastating makes against another team. So I certainly know how good the Raptors are. They're a very good team. I certainly give them all the credit in the world. I still think that they're outperforming their true talent. I don't think Kyle Lowry, I mean, he's good, but he used to be, the thing against Kyle Lowry was he sucks in the playoffs, and now all of a sudden he's like insane, and he's become the best in the league at taking charges, and he's become the best in the league offensively at manufacturing calls for him. So I don't know where that came from, but Kyle Lowry's suddenly amazing.
Yeah, although he wasn't at the end. I thought it was poor shot selection at the end. They could have got a better shot than that. And I know they blitzed out Kawhi at the top there, and he couldn't get a shot off, but you know, I just thought, man, it was chaos at the end, and there was no poise at the end for the Raptors when they have showed so much poise, I think, throughout the series. But you know, that's part of the Warriors. The Warriors made life difficult for them at that final trip down the court. And the game will be Thursday. There won't be a Brewer game tonight. I think the one consolation, and I got this bet with you and Horvat on the series, is that hey, we get more basketball, more basketball to talk about.
Did you look at the lines yet? Do you know what they are?
No, the series, Toronto was like -675 to win the series before last night.
Before the Durant news.
So it's got to be, I don't know. I don't even know. Horvat would know that.
It's -260.
Who's favorite?
The Toronto? Raptors.
Still, okay.
Well, they're up.
Yeah, but man, seems like a little momentum switch here.
+215 for Golden State.
I guess.
Spread for Game 6? Do you have a guess?
I would say Golden State by 4?
3, yeah.
3, okay.
They get the home field goal.
I'm surprised Golden State's that heavily favored still to win the series. Toronto's still heavily favored.
No, well, if Kevin Durant, you saw that first quarter, you had to think, all right, with Kevin Durant, the Warriors will win the series, right?
Well, at least last night I thought, okay, they're going to go in there and win. I thought, boy, if they're going to... Now, 3-1 sounds like such a tough deficit to come by. But, you know, they won last night.
All they got to do is win 2 games in a row. They're NBA champs.
Yeah. Now they just got to win at home. And they go back to Toronto. Pressure's on Toronto, is it? Pressure. They go back to Toronto for a Game 7. Doesn't Toronto start to doubt themselves a little bit on this? Even though Durant is not a team. Let's say Golden State wins. Now you go back, just like the Bucks, man. They lost game five here. Then they got to go back to Toronto. And, oh, I mean, anything can happen.
What's interesting about this series is that the home team has won one game.
Yes.
Just yes. The one game.
Yes.
And that was the first
yes.
one.
Yes, yes, yes. I think when the Bucks lost in 1974 in a seven-game series with Boston in the NBA Finals, the road team won every game of that series. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
And I think this is one game off from matching that, possibly.
So the Warriors go back now, game six on Thursday night. Do you feel like there's been a shift that they've become like... Because before the series, I mean, we were talking about this map of the United States, and Facebook did data to see who was rooting for who. And it was Nevada, Hawaii, and California. Those were the states that were rooting for Golden State. The rest of the country was rooting for the team in Canada. Do you think that they've shifted a little bit? Are people falling maybe back in love with the Warriors and out of love with the Raptors?
You mean people who are just neutral?
Yeah.
Basketball fans? I don't know. I still think people want... I don't understand why people want Toronto to win. I mean, it's not a...
I don't either.
I don't fully understand it because Golden State is our team here in America. Yeah, we pride ourselves.
Yeah, but nobody cares about that. You want them to, but nobody does.
I guess not.
It's like when I was trying to argue that people shouldn't root for the Cavs
then,
because they're Bucks division rivals. Nobody cares.
Okay, then all that. Okay, then if everything's on an equal plane, then I'm not surprised people want Toronto to win because I think people want to see a new champion. And maybe are tired of Golden State always being there.
Now they've got sympathy. They've got this injury they're going through.
Yeah.
Putting up a poll now at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Who are you rooting for, Warriors or Raptors? Because before the series,
Here
it was 75% Raptors.
On our poll?
Yep.
Which is a little surprising because the Bucks had just come off losing a series to the Raptors. You would think that people would be hating on the Raptors.
Well, there were some people that people hate the Warriors.
No, I know.
And then there was people that say, well, I want to lose to the champion, I still don't understand.
I think people hate the Warriors, but I think they have a lot of fans, like in recent years. We'll see where those fans are in 5 years when the Warriors are terrible again, like they've been for most of their franchise history.
What do you mean? They've got a good young core. Jordan Bell, Quinn Cook.
Yeah. What happens with Steph and Clay?
Kevon Looney.
Steph and Clay. Yeah,
this bench that is so suspect. No. What was the lineup that Kerr had out there
Hall
last
Hall of Famers
night?
Up and down.
What was that lineup? He had Bell, Clay, Cook, I think Livingston, and then somebody else.
Remember when Livingston played the Bucks?
It was such a bad lineup. Barely.
Livingston, yeah, he was here, I want to say 2013.
Remember when the Bucks threw all their eggs into Drew Gooden's basket?
Yeah, I remember when he signed. It was 7:30 in the morning. And we were on the show. This was 7:30 in 2010, I want to say.
Okay.
One of the first days of free agency, and we called it, when they got Drew Gooden, that the Bucks were going to get home court advantage. We called it the summer of home court advantage in Milwaukee. And we all know how that turned out. We had to get home court advantage then for another 8 years.
From Drew Gooden?
Yeah. Drew Gooden. It was a 5-year, like $30 million deal. And a few years ago, they were amnestying that contract.
Wow, you guys used to be able to drink on the show, found out.
Because you know why? The Bucks had just made the playoffs in 2009. They lost that seven-game series to Atlanta. And we thought, with Drew Gooden, hey, things were going to look good. They got Drew Gooden. And thought that was going to be the guy who's going to put him over the top. Yeah, what a disappointment that guy turned out to be. And another bad signing in Bucks history.
50 quick votes on the poll, 71% rooting for the Raptors. I'm sorry, the Warriors. So it's flipped. So over the course of this series, it's flipped.
Okay.
So far.
Okay.
Because the Raptors, I mean, their fans are cheering for Kevin Durant's injury. The Warriors have built up some sympathy. Maybe you just want to see more basketball.
I don't think Steph Curry, I don't look at him as a guy who people should dislike. I mean, he seems like a likable guy. I don't know him personally. Of course I don't know him personally. You may have a little more insight on that with your brother, but, I mean, it seems like a good guy. Golfs?
It's fatigue. It's just fatigue. It's not that people don't like Steph. Yeah. It's that they're just they're tired of seeing the same guy over and over.
No, I get that.
I mean, these finals, Chuck, I don't even know if we should be talking about them today, honestly. They're like the lowest rated finals in 10 years.
Yeah. Well, the game Friday night drew horrible ratings.
That was the worst finals game in 10 years. And some of these games, I mean, you're matching up the ratings that they're getting with like Thursday night games, football games between the Jaguars and Titans.
It's amazing.
You know, so maybe in the fall, we should be spending 4 hours on Browns Jets and these kind of games because they're getting as many viewers as the NBA Finals.
Well, I'm rushing to get off the course on Friday night so I can get to watch the NBA Finals. We want to get to a sports bar, watch the game. We want to hustle, and then I find out like next day that's the lowest rated NBA title game in like 50 years, and I'm like, wow. So I was the only one rushing to go to a bar to watch this game. Nobody else cared.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the hallmarks of our show in the morning is that we talk about what you guys are talking about. We don't try to force anything down your throat. We don't try to force down Packers in the middle of April. We talk about what you are talking about, and we assume you're talking about the NBA Finals, but maybe we're not. Maybe not. Maybe we should be talking Packers.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe you and I are the ones who care about the finals.
You, me, and Horvath.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know. I'm all in on Thursday night again, man. I'll be.
Oh, I know.
Rushing to get to this, because I checked and said, man, the Brewers aren't playing because I don't like switching back and forth.
I'm glad it's working out this week where the Brewers and the finals aren't on the same time.
And then on Sunday night, I guess, because I think the game is Sunday night, right? Not in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Sunday night, yeah. So, the Brewers won't be playing Sunday. Well, the Brewers got a late afternoon game against San Francisco. I plan my whole week out through around watching the Brewers and basketball. Goes back to watching TV. That's all we do for a living is watch TV, don't we?
Yep, that's our existence.
Yeah.
Well, I also shave, Chuck. I also make sure to get a good shave with Harry's Razors. And I don't just use their shaving products. I use their body wash in the shower today. If you want to know more details about that, I'm happy to show you the daily shower video.
A little TMI there.
Okay, I'll just talk about it then. Father's Day is coming up, as Chuck alluded to earlier, as we're telling you on our Twitter poll today. And you want to make sure you get Dad at least one of the three things when it comes to a gift. You want to get him a gift that he's going to love. You always want to do that. You want to give Dad a gift that he'll actually use, all right, and not just sit there in his closet. And you want to give a gift that's not going to, like, break the bank, because if you spend too much on your dad, not only will you be out of money, but he'll be mad at you for spending too much because, Dad's trying to give you that advice not to spend too much money. This gift of Harry's covers all three. They've got a special offer for Father's Day where you get $5 off the shave set at Harry's. You can treat your dad to a five-blade razor or any dad. The weighted handle, the shave gel, the travel cover. Just use the code BART at harrys.com. It's a quality shave. These are German-engineered blades that your dad will appreciate year-round. They come at honest prices. Dad can restock on the blade. He won't have to overpay. It's just $2 each, so it's a deal within itself, which dads love. Again, Father's Day, Harry's has a special offer, $5 off the shave set from Harry's. Code BART at harrys.com. You'll get that razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, $3 plus free shipping. When you use the code BART, B-A-R-T, at harrys.com, go to harrys.com today. Use code BART at checkout to claim your offer. Speaking of dads, it's your chance to win free Summerfest tickets. Just need to know something your dad told you. We'll explain next. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. It's a Twitter Tuesday. Your chance to win $20 to Perkins as well as Summerfest tickets. More Summerfest tickets. What's some advice that your dad told you? The best piece of advice your dad ever told you? As Father's Day is coming up, you can win him some Perkins and Summerfest tickets at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag CWLunch. Anything that you can think of off the top of your head, Frames?
Never give up. My dad always said, never give up. Never give up trying. If your sports team is down, if you're playing, never give up. My dad always said, never give up. He said it before. Valvano said that. Valvano, of course, was quoted. My dad used to always say it all the time, long before Valvano.
So your dad made up the quote, never give up.
He'd always say, never give up. I'd always say, oh, geez, they're down three runs here in the ninth inning. Never give up. I'd always say, never give up. Dad was always say, never give up. Don't quit trying. No, never quit trying. That was my dad's famous words. So I'd say that right there, never give up.
I think the one that I take away is just that we'll support you no matter what. So no matter what you want to do, no matter what you like.
Mm-hmm.
I never got forced into anything. My dad's a big soccer coach that started because I played soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he was a soccer guy and then forced me to play. He was actually a wrestling coach, and he said, Bart, why don't you try going out for wrestling? And I went out for wrestling, and I got my ass handed to me, as you would expect.
On what grade?
Seventh.
Okay.
And, well, I did Mighty Mites and all that stuff as a kid. I mean, the Saturday morning wrestling. Mm-hmm. So I wrestled my whole youth. And then in seventh grade, I went to high school where he was the coach, or the junior high, I should say. And I quit after 3 days. I said, Dad, I'm getting pounded. This is not for me. And it was uncomfortable. But he said, if that's what you want to do, I support you. So your dad told you to never give up. My dad encouraged, said it was okay to quit.
To quit. And he's a coach.
And he was the coach.
He was the coach. Oh,
so man. That's funny.
Yeah, never give up.
There's this guy who constantly berates me on Twitter and supports you. And he told me to relax. And then I sent him the number. And he actually called.
Oh.
So good for Alan in Milwaukee.
Hey, Al.
Hey, Al. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Al.
Bart, this is loving advice, not chastising.
Al, everything you've ever sent me is chastising.
That's because you're always fired up, man, taking stabs at people. So showing you how it feels to take a stab back at you.
Oh, you think I can't handle the heat is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think you can handle it fine.
Well, do you have any heat for me?
You're a passionate guy. Sometimes I think your passion takes you in great directions. Sometimes I think it derails you, but I know it's your passion. So.
Oh, so we're actually friends.
Sure. I like listening to your guys' show. I'm called before. I'm a Cub, Illinois guy, Bears and Cubs, and I enjoy listening to your guys' show each morning, and sometimes I shoot a tweet at you.
So but why, if you like those teams, do you like to listen to us?
I'm moved here now, so I got if the Cubs didn't win it, I'd have no problem if the Brewers did win it. It'd take a couple gulps, but in the big picture, I'd be fine with it.
In a short time, I like Al already.
I'm trying to read some of the tweets that he
sent
to me.
Did Al ever say something nice? You said he said something nice about me?
Al's always like, be nicer to Chuck.
Oh, Al, man.
This
is Chuck and Al show.
Yeah, this is from May 6th. Bart, you can be so condescending, it's annoying. Why the hell does it bother you what Chuck was watching on TV last night? And I responded, I just want Chuck to like me.
Yeah, that was your rant about what he's watching. So it's just you're young and passionate. Chuck and I've been there. We've learned to shut our mouths at times when younger guys haven't. That's all.
Sometimes this is from November. Bart thinks he gets to freak out and call names when he's mad, but then he's on the Twitter police the next day.
Hell, I'm liking you more and more. You need to become a regular of this show. A regular caller.
I think I told you one time, Bart, you should listen back to the show. You might have a different opinion of it.
Yeah, I said our show's great, and then you said listen back one time.
Al, you're a wise man. Al's a wise guy. Wise man. Wise man. I like him.
Well, Al, you know what? I think I like you, too.
So, well, good. Well, I'll keep tweeting you then. I'll even shoot you some nice ones once in a while. How about that?
All right, I'm going to follow you back.
You know what's going on here? Here, let me tell you something. Bart is trying to kill you, Al, with kindness. That's what he's trying to do.
No, I'm not. I just read all the things he said to me.
But you're trying to kill.
When I saw that Al actually called, I was like bracing for a fight.
Yeah, but
Al's been the nice guy.
I think you're the one. I think the one you're killing him with kindness.
Al was being nice.
Oh, I think you are.
So I'm taking his lead.
I think you kind of put him.
No.
Am I right, Al?
Life's too short for enemies, especially over sports.
Yeah. I've always agreed with Al.
Okay.
No guy like him. Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Have a good day, guys.
What a great call. Doesn't get better than that on the show. Al.
Well, we got 1 hour left here on The Fan.
What's your deal today?
What do you mean, what's my deal today? I'm great. What's wrong with you?
Why do you want the show to end so bad?
Oh, no, I said we got 1 hour left.
Oh.
I didn't say, oh, God, we got 1 hour. No, I said we got 1 hour left.
That's how I heard it.
No, you heard me wrong.
You're right. I am condescending to you.
That's why I've been married twice. I think people hear me wrong.
It's Chuck and Winkler served. Yeah, that's the problem. See, condescending. Al's right.
Yeah, see?
Damn.
Listen to us older guys.
Sorry, bud. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.